Ladies and gentlemen, shareholders, the 2017 Siemens AG shareholders meeting is called to order. As Chairman of the Supervisory Board, I will assume the chair in accordance with our articles of association. On behalf of the Supervisory Board and the Management Board, I would like to welcome you all here today and thank you for the great interest that you have shown in Siemens over the last 12 months. I'm especially happy to see many former Siemens employees with us here today. Siemens has always been more than just a company. We are a community of people who promote technological progress to serve society. That's what the Siemens family stands for as well, and I'd especially like to welcome their members here today. At the annual shareholders meeting last year, our former Chairman of the Supervisory Board was with us, Dr. Hermann Franz. He was here in the Olympic Hall. Unfortunately, Dr. Franz passed away last October. A number of friends, as well as members of the Management Board and Supervisory Board, attended his funeral, and Mr. Kaeser paid tribute to the great service he did for our company. In 1957, Dr. Franz, after studying electrical technology, he began his career as a sales engineer at the Siemens Schuckert plant. In 1980, he was appointed to the Siemens Management Board. And then in 1988, in addition to his other responsibilities, he became responsible for the corporate department planning and development. The basic and fundamental reform of the organizational structure at Siemens, which began in 1989, is closely associated with Dr. Franz's name. From 1993 until 1998, he was then chairman of the supervisory board. After he retired, Dr. Franz kept close ties to Siemens and its employees. Younger top managers who followed him appreciated his advice. In remembrance of Dr. Franz and all of the other colleagues who are no longer with us today, I would like to ask you to please stand for a moment of silence. You have risen in honor of Dr. Franz and our deceased colleagues. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in the past fiscal year, Siemens AG strengthened its business in electrification, automation, and digitalization to a considerable extent. We consistently and successfully pursued our strategy program called Vision 2020. The past fiscal year was one of the most successful years that Siemens has ever had. We were especially pleased with the good development of our business figures, in particular our net income and revenue. The personnel and strategic realignment in the last few years is now really bearing fruit. Against the backdrop of this very successful year, we are proposing an increase in our dividend to reach €3.60. And based on the closing price at the 30th of September 2016, the dividend yield amounts to 3.5%. Since 1952, Siemens has continuously paid out dividends, and since fiscal 1987, the dividend has been increased every year, at least maintained it at the same amount. The dividend trends and the increase in the share price over time has made the Siemens share a very attractive investment. In fiscal 2017 as well, our company wants to continue along its successful course, even if the political and economic situation has a large number of uncertainties. We want to promote innovation and digitization in our company. Before I talk about this and the work of the Supervisory Board in the past fiscal year, I would like to explain some of the formalities for today's shareholders meeting. We can note that the Supervisory Board is here in full, with the exception of Ms. Bettina Haller, who is excused. All members of the Management Board are here with us today. Dr. Tilman Goethe is responsible for notarized minutes, as he has done in the past. He will be assisted by Notary Benedict Goslick when taking down statements for the minutes. He can be seen at Speaker's Table 1, which is to the left of the stage. Notice of today's annual shareholders' meeting was announced with the complete agenda and the proposals from management in due time and in due form in the Federal Gazette on the 6th of December 2016. The publication can be found on the Internet, and it is also available for inspection at the speaker's tables. The documents are available today at our information booths in our meeting room. They were also sent to you upon request, and since the notice of the annual shareholders meeting, they've been available on our website. They're also available at the speaker's tables. The meeting room, in the legal sense of the term, includes all of the areas accessible to the shareholders beyond the checkpoints, and this includes the tent. According to Section 19, Paragraph 7 of our Articles of Association, I have ruled that the entire annual shareholders' meeting will be transmitted live on the Internet for our shareholders. Until the beginning of the general discussion, we will be transmitting the annual shareholders' meeting for third parties as well on the Internet, and part of it will be on television. The cameras and microphones in the meeting room are only there for being transferred to the monitors and the loudspeakers, and this includes the back office. You will find them in various positions in the meeting room. As in the past, there will be no verbatim recording of today's annual shareholders' meeting. Until the end of the general discussion, any shareholders who are tuned in on the Internet and who've signed up in due time will have the possibility to change their absentee ballots, proxies, or instructions. The list of participants will be continuously updated until the end of the shareholders' meeting, and it can be viewed by shareholders and their representatives in the upper levels at the information booths. And this will be seen on computer screens. This brings us to the agenda. Agenda item 1, to receive and consider the adopted annual financial statements of Siemens AG and the improved consolidated financial statements, together with the combined management report of Siemens AG and the Siemens Group as of September 30th, 2016, as well as the report of the Supervisory Board and the Corporate Governance Report for fiscal 2016. I'd also like to refer to our annual report, where these topics are dealt with in detail in the appropriate chapters. They also include the compensation report and the explanatory report in accordance with Section 289, Paragraph 4, and Section 315, Paragraph 4 of the Commercial Code. Ernst & Young GmbH Wirtschaftsprüfungsgesellschaft in Stuttgart was appointed as our auditors at the last annual shareholders' meeting. They have audited the financial statements and the consolidated financial statements, as well as the management report board's combined general review, and they have issued an unqualified audit opinion in accordance with legal requirements. The Supervisory Board has approved the annual financial statements and the consolidated in financial statements at its meeting on the 30th of November 2016. So the financial statements are thus adopted. I will be talking about the work of the Supervisory Board in fiscal 2016. You will also find a detailed report in the annual report. That is why I would like to focus only on the most important aspects of the work of the Supervisory Board, if they are related to today's annual shareholders meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, Our world is now in a real state of upheaval, maybe more than in other periods in the past. The progress made by globalization and digitization has changed our economy in the past two decades. These have been fundamental change. With globalization, suppliers and customer networks extend all over the world. The exchange of goods and information is much quicker than it was in the past. National economies that are thousands of kilometers apart can influence one another, and they also compete with one another. Digitization has also given globalization additional force. Data can be exchanged in real time, and digitization also reduces the value chains, and old business models disappear, new ones emerge. Digitalization has also changed the working world and the requirements placed on employees. Considering the major change in industry and society, we often refer to the fourth industrial revolution. Do we have to be afraid of this revolution? If we look back in history, we will see that every industrial revolution, first of all, caused major changes and upheavals. Sometimes it took a while before the achievements and material improvements reached all social classes. But at the end, our society benefited as a whole. There was an increase in prosperity. And today, not everybody is benefiting to the same extent from this change. There are a lot who consider themselves losers, and they don't see any improvement in their quality of life. But these are people that have to be included, and they also have to be made convinced of the opportunities of change. And we see that criticism and the society as a whole have to have prospects so that everyone will see themselves as winners in this change. The transition period until everyone benefits means that we have to find solutions that are socially acceptable. This is the only way to steal the populists' thunder. This applies even more now because in recent times, especially in the last few days, we've seen protectionism, and this is something that have called into question the advantages of a division of labor. With Vision 2020, Siemens is answering these challenges. And with our strategy program 2020, our course in the future has been clearly defined. And we see upheavals to include not only risks, but also great opportunities. We successfully helped to shape past industrial revolutions, and there's hardly any other company that has shaped the future as much as Siemens has and is able to do in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, in the past fiscal year, the Supervisory Board advised the Management Board when it came to the very successful implementation of Vision 2020. A first focal area of our work was to support the Management Board in major investment and divestment projects. This includes the acquisitions in the field of simulation software. Simulation software gives our customers the possibility to draft, test, and optimize products in their computers. For example, to check the mechanic stability, flow behavior, and the interaction between various electronic components. Product development is thus faster, simpler, and less expensive. Our company sees simulation software as one of the most promising technologies in digitalization. Siemens strengthened and completed its offer in this area in the past fiscal year. And acquiring CD Adapco and the planned acquisition of Mentor Graphics and cooperation with Bentley Systems, a software company, were very important steps that have been taken. In addition, the Supervisory Board also dealt with the envisaged merger of Siemens Wimpower with the Spanish-listed company Gamesa. The Supervisory Board and the Management Board have a great deal of faith in the future of renewable energies. the wind, and the sun. Irrespective of political volatilities, renewable energies will play a very important role in the change in energy systems throughout the world. Siemens would like to expand its strong position in this area. With the merger with Gamesa, we will have a leading supplier for wind farms, both onshore and offshore. The supervisory board also dealt with the future of healthcare. In the first quarter of the new fiscal year, Siemens announced that it would be listing, or that it wants to list, its healthcare business. This business is also undergoing major changes these days. All over the world, healthcare systems are changing. Technological progress, for example, algorithms for large amounts of medical data, open up new possibilities for diagnosis and therapy. And demand in the healthcare sector has also changed considerably. In order to make use of these opportunities even better, the healthcare division at Siemens should be given more flexibility when it comes to implementing their growth plans. And here we would like to include our direct access to the capital market. The supervisory board supports preparations for an IPO. A second focal area of our work on the supervisory board in the last fiscal year was to advise the managing board in long-term strengthening of segments which had fallen behind our competition. We support structural changes in the Process Industries and Drives division and the restructuring of underperforming businesses. Our work has been constructive and as critical as well. Some of the measures taken are painful, but we are convinced they are in the interest of long-term competitiveness of these businesses and of the company as a whole. Due to the speed of industrial change, it would not be acceptable to defer any of these necessary changes. A third focal area of the work on the supervisory board, which was also a focal area of management as a whole, was to increase innovation at Siemens. For successful companies such as Siemens, and we've learned this from history, we do run the risk of overestimating established and successful businesses and at the same times not to recognize the necessity for renewal. In order to counter this, companies have to have the most clever ideas, both within and outside the company. They have to know how to make use of these clever ideas. And these are challenges that our company is tackling. We increase our spending for R&D and for investments as well and acquisitions as well. We also want to increase our innovation. The supervisory board and the management board also deal with the results of the Siemens Technology and Innovation Council. This council has excellent international members, and this is necessary for decisions taken in the future. They support us when it comes to strategic issues for the future. In the last fiscal year, we set up an innovation fund, and this is to support employees to put good ideas into practice and to turn them into specific economic benefits. At the beginning of fiscal 2017, we also set up Next 47, which is an independent unit to promote startups. These are the three focal areas that we worked on in the past fiscal year and are very closely related to changes on the management board. On the 31st of March 2017, Mr. Roosman's contract will expire. The supervisory board agreed by mutual consent not to extend his contract. We regret that he will be leaving, and he did a lot for Siemens in the last few decades, and that's why we would like to thank him and express our appreciation for all he has done. The CTO is now Roland Busch as of the 1st of December 2016. And in addition, Mr. Busch will also be responsible for strategy. Technology and strategy are very closely interrelated, more than ever before. That's why we thought it would be important to have responsibility for these two areas in one portfolio. The supervisory board also decided to extend and rejuvenate the management board in order to support implementation of Vision 2020. To look after our important unit Siemens Healthcare, the Healthineers, we have appointed Michael Sen as member of the management board. This will take effect on the 1st of April 2017. Mr. Sen will also be responsible for global services. Mr. Sen began his professional career at Siemens and was chief financial officer at Siemens Healthcare Sectors from 2008 to 2015, now called Healthineers. He is very familiar with our healthcare business. After working for Siemens, Mr. Sen was the CFO at E.ON AG, and he gained a very good reputation, in particular when it came to realigning the future. We appointed Mr. Cedric Neike as member of the management board as of the 1st of April 2017 in order to expand our expertise in digitization. Mr. Neike also began his career at Siemens, and then he went to Cisco Systems, one of the world's leaders when it comes to telecommunications and internet structures, where he held leading management positions. Mr. Nykand will enrich our management board with his great expertise in the fields of corporate software and IT. He will be responsible for energy management and the Asia-Australia region. I would like to wish the entire management board, and in particular new colleagues, Mr. Sen and Mr. Nike, I would like to wish you all the very best. Now, of course, we also have to consider a successor plan for the supervisory board. And this is also to include the chair of the supervisory board, as well as the chairpersons for the important committees. We've seen a lot about this in the media recently, especially when it comes to the chair of the supervisory board. And nearly all of the shareholders' representatives have been discussed as a possible candidate. This is something which is confirmation for the colleagues that were mentioned, but it also shows us that there is a high degree of quality in our body. The nominating committee at the supervisory board has discussed this in the current and in the past fiscal year when it comes to successorship planning. We dealt with this a number of times, and I'm happy to announce today that the nominating committee has elected Jim Hagemann-Snabe, and he is being recommended as the chairman of the supervisory board. At our meeting yesterday, the supervisory board took note of this and approved of this unanimously. The elections to the supervisory board and the chairman of the supervisory board will be on the 31st of January 2018. Jim Hagemann-Snabe knows Siemens and has known Siemens for many years now. He has been a member of the supervisory board since 2013, and a decision on this 26th of January 2016 renewed his contract for a full term of office of 5 years for a shareholders representative of the supervisory board. He is internationally renowned and a well-known manager. He has a great deal of expertise in industry. This applies in particular to the most important future areas, software and digitization. Mr. Snabe has promised the supervisory board that the number of his positions on supervisory boards will be reduced between now and January 2018, which means that he will have the necessary time to be chair of our supervisory board. And his position at the SAP supervisory board will be, he will resign from there so that we can avoid any possible impression of a conflict of interest. Ladies and gentlemen, continuity at a high level. This is our maxim. And this applies to planning of the composition of the management board, as well as to our planning for the new elections for the supervisory board at the annual shareholders meeting in 2018. We will always keep the big picture in mind and will ensure that all of the pieces will fit together in a good puzzle. Ladies and gentlemen, dear shareholders, in December last year, we celebrated Werner von Siemens' 200th birthday. His most impressive trait was that he could see the world with openness and curiosity. He and others who shaped the founding era in the 19th century looked for and made use of those opportunities. We, too, should also take a look at the economic, technological, and political upheavals and see them as opportunities. Remember, every industrial revolution improved the quality of life for everyone and increased our prosperity. At Siemens, experience from the last fiscal year shows this to be the case. If we pursue our vision pragmatically and with determination, we will be successful in a difficult environment. That's why I would like to thank all members of the management board, all of the employees, and the employee representatives for Siemens AG, as well as all of our affiliated companies. I would like to thank all of you very, very much. This applies to the great deal of commitment and the wonderful achievements that you reached in the past fiscal year. I would like to wish you all the very, very much. Thank you ever so much who helped us to make fiscal 2016 such an excellent year. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Cromme, for your report, which already shows that we had a very successful year, a very good year. Dear owners of our company, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to bid you a warm welcome to the annual shareholders meeting of Siemens AG, your annual shareholders meeting. I'd like to especially welcome the Siemens family and all former and active employees of our company. July 2016 marked the 30th anniversary of the assassination of Professor Karl-Heinz Beckurz. We will always remember and honor his name here at Siemens. I'd also like to commemorate an outstanding individual who gave me so much over the years. Dr. Franz, last year Siemens lost one of its most formative and important personalities, Dr. Hermann Franz. And I really fondly recall many meetings with him at Wittelsbacher Platz. And in one of our talks, it was in the summer of 2014, we discussed the strategy program Vision 2020. And I asked him about his own personal experience during the company's reorganization in 1989. And drawing on his lifetime of experience, he said to me at that time, "You're really undertaking quite a bit. Will all of this be possible at Siemens?" And he added, "But you know, the most important thing is you must convince the employees that you are serious about handing over a better Siemens to the next generation." Ladies and gentlemen, indeed, we've undertaken a lot with our Vision 2020, and today two fiscal years following the launch of Vision 2020, we could say to Mr. Franz, yes, it can be done. It is possible at Siemens. Vision 2020 works. And actually, it works very well. It's a success because our employees throughout the world are working hard to make it a success. For satisfied customers, for innovative products, for high quality, for reliable projects, and thus for profitable growth. Fiscal 2016 was a strong year. Dear Ms. Bergdolt, we delivered everything we promised, and even more important, we've left our competitors behind us in nearly every important aspect or parameter, in terms of share price performance, in growth, and in increasing profitability. This isn't achieved every year, and we also know that there's still a lot to be done. However, we are quietly pleased with this success, and we are turning our sights on the many tasks that lie ahead. Today, however, ladies and gentlemen, shareholders, today we'd like to look back. We would like to give you an accounting of fiscal 2016. And I would like to start off with our share price performance for 2016. In the past calendar year, the DAX increased by almost 7%, and the Siemens share climbed 30%. With an increase of nearly 22 billion euros in market capitalization, Siemens was the main driver behind growth in the DAX. In fact, 85% of the net increase of all 30 DAX companies was attributable to Siemens. Our share also substantially outperformed the average of the DAX and above all the average of our competitors. Today, the price of the Siemens share is the highest it has been for 16 years, the highest in 16 years. Now, ladies and gentlemen, solid profits are not an end in itself, but rather a basic prerequisite for investments in the future and also for the redistribution of value appreciation to our shareholders and to the company. In fiscal 2016, we increased basic earnings per share to 6 euros and 74 euro cents, which is a 30% increase year over year when we exclude the one-time gains from our portfolio. This positive development rests on a broad foundation. Basically, all Siemens divisions, apart from the process industries and drives division, were able to increase their profit. So almost all of the arrows are pointing upward. And even with process industries and drives, we are now heading in the right direction. Things are improving. Looking at the company as a whole, orders grew by 6%, excluding currency translation effects, and on the same basis, revenue also increased by 6%. And this means that we are growing again, faster than our competitors, and even more important, we are growing profitably and we are growing sustainably. Growth encourages and inspires us. Growth gives us confidence, and growth secures, and that's very important, it secures jobs. In fiscal 2016, a total of 35,000 people joined Siemens, and some 4,600 of them here in Germany. That's approximately 150 new hires per workday. By the way, we are now employing some 21,000 software engineers. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a number which will certainly continue to grow in the near future. One of the top priorities of Vision 2020, and some would probably call it or word it differently and say, make Siemens great again, but one of the top priorities was to get closer to our customers again, better customer proximity. We wanted to better understand our customers, more intensively advise them, and help them to be successful. Customer satisfaction and customer trust are a great asset for us. Our yardstick for customer satisfaction is the so-called net recommendation rate. Well, net promoter score is the term often used for this, and it has sharply improved since 2014. It has grown by 27%. Satisfied customers are the very basis for growth and the very basis for market success. And above all, satisfied customers enable us to prevail in a difficult business environment and to seize market opportunities. With the realignment of Siemens on the 1st of October 2014, we eliminated organizational levels and we merged businesses. Governance, that is, supervision of the company, has become more stringent. As a result, we were able to create the prerequisites for substantial cost reductions in our organization. We achieved the planned savings of 1 billion euros earlier than originally anticipated. Credit for this accomplishment goes to the entire organization that cooperated so effectively with this sensitive theme or topic. Now, the project we call 1 by 16, so 1 billion by 2016, was managed and implemented by our finance function, most notably by Mr. Thomas, in a prudent, consistent, and rigorous and successful manner. But, have we also become faster, more flexible, and less complex as a result? Compared to our past, for sure. But compared to the standards set by the best companies in the world, we still have quite a bit of work ahead of us. This is also true for our underperforming businesses. Here, we improved as well. In fiscal 2014, we had businesses that produced revenue of nearly 15 billion euros, yet didn't earn any money and even posted slight losses. We've been able to improve the margin step by step. In fiscal 2016, these businesses achieved an average profit margin of 3%. That's right on schedule, and it's a satisfactory interim goal. Our goal is to have these businesses reach a profit margin of 6% by 2017, and in most of the cases, we'll achieve this. Only a few segments will need somewhat longer, and we'll fix these underperforming businesses ourselves. Once again, here we will deliver on our promises, and we'll do that by relying on the hard, often difficult, and good work of our employees and the prudent management of my colleagues on the managing board. And in particular, I would like to mention the operational colleagues Lisa Davis, Roland Busch, Klaus Helmrich, and since very often structural alignments were required in the HR area, Janina Kugel. I'd like to mention these colleagues in particular. This is not something that will happen automatically. It requires a lot of hard work, and you really have to be there and make sure that you know what's going on. Well, they certainly deserve an applause. One major, often embarrassing and above all expensive nuisance at Siemens were the constant project charges that consumed millions or billions and even billions in resources. Here too, we've made visible progress, tangible progress. In the past fiscal year, we also made solid progress in our risk management and project execution. Let me remind you that in the years from 2007 to 2014, project charges averaged around 700 million euros per fiscal year, and in some years even exceeded 1 billion euros. By fiscal 2015, we had managed to reduce these charges to 200 million euros, and in fiscal 2016, we reported no net negative effects from project charges and portfolio charges anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, this shows that the measures we've introduced are effective and sustainable, and they can be repeated many times over again. Even so, we don't always get everything right. And everywhere, really everywhere, there are risks lurking. We've clearly improved. Ladies and gentlemen, in uncertain times, strong and reliable partners are more important than ever. And that's why it was so important to make sure that our project execution is as reliable as Siemens is in every other respect, reliability for which our company stands. In June 2015, about 1.5 years ago, we gave our word to Egyptian President El-Sisi that we would support his country in developing a reliable system, a reliable energy system. We would support him in building this up in his country and a system that he and his people could be proud of. And we committed ourselves to delivering new gas-fired power plant capacity of 14.4 gigawatts, 14,400 megawatts of new gas-fired power plant capacity within just 18 months. Completely finished, turnkey project. This was a record schedule for a record project with a record execution. Now, ladies and gentlemen, today, 18 months later, we have achieved 4.8 gigawatts, 10% more generating capacity than originally promised. Never before has the energy system of an entire country been developed so fast. This mega project will bring concrete improvements to the lives of millions of people through a reliable, affordable, and sustainable power supply. This order is not only bringing growth and in the Middle East, but it also secures jobs here in Germany. Siemens Rail Technology is also setting standards, positive standards these days. The ICE4 order worth 5.3 billion euros is the biggest rail project we've ever won. We are keeping to the jointly agreed project schedule and we are delivering without delays. In 2016, we turned over the first ICE4 right on time to Deutsche Bahn. At the moment, the trains are undergoing tests under real-life operating conditions, and in December 2017, as planned, they are scheduled to enter regular service on time, punctually. And we are also punctually paying our shareholders their share of our profit from past year. And this has increased every year since 2014. Ladies and gentlemen, 2016 was the best year in our corporate history in operational terms. Well, actually, I'm not a great fan of such statements. They can seem rather boastful and unseemingly diminish the achievements of past generations. But this time, this moment coincides with another historical event. Well, I think we've given Werner von Siemens the most beautiful present on his 200th birthday anniversary. We are proposing a dividend of €3.60. Siemens thus remains an attractive dividend stock and a worthwhile investment. We've steadily raised the dividend for the past years, and we are distributing more than ever before. And Werner von Siemens liked to say, "I will not sell the future for instant profit." So the question arises, are we selling the future of our company for momentary profit, that is, for a good year when we distribute so much? Are we selling the future of our company? And I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, no, we aren't. On the contrary, roughly half of the profit remains in the company. We will be investing more than ever in customers, in innovation, in high-quality manufacturing facilities, and in new factories, also in Germany. We've significantly increased our investments in factories and equipment in recent years, and we expect to spend 2.7 billion euros here this year for these investments. That's an increase of 20% compared to 2014. Just one example. We're currently building a new wind power facility in Cuxhaven. We'll be creating more than 1,000 new jobs there in the future-oriented industry of renewable energies. Just give me the name of one competitor investing so much in Germany, as much as our company. We've continuously increased our outlays for sales since 2014, and we are planning to invest 9.6 billion euros in the current fiscal year for exploring new markets. We are investing in getting closer to our customers, and we are also investing in our digital sales channels for the future. In more than 5 billion euros, let me just remind you of this, 10,000 million Deutsche Marks, that would be for those of you who still remember the Deutsche Mark. So more than 5 billion euros are invested annually in research and development. Since fiscal 2014, investments in R&D have thus grown by approximately 25%. A large share of the additional resources is earmarked for the areas of manufacturing automation, digitalization, and of course, distributed energy systems. Ladies and gentlemen, innovation remains a top priority at Siemens. So what are we doing specifically? Many things, and I don't want to dwell too long on these, but let me give you a few examples from the most exciting and attractive business fields. One of them is so-called additive manufacturing, or 3D printing for short. I've brought something with me today to show you, and if I can find it, here it is, I'll actually show it to you.
This
might seem rather insignificant, a small element, but ladies and gentlemen, it's barely 8 cm high, but it has to withstand extreme temperatures. It is a blade for a gas turbine, and it's about the most demanding thing that one can print these days. Siemens is a pioneer in this field and has, for the first time, successfully tested printed gas turbines blades under full load, thanks to 3D printing. Thanks to 3D printing, we no longer have to cast and machine these blades, but can print them from metal powder. In the past, it took 2 years to move from a computer design to production. Today, it only takes 2 months. 2 months instead of 2 years. That is innovation, thanks to digital technologies. Those who want to succeed in a digital age have to embark on a new path in training and innovation management. We need employees with digital skills, and that is why we are investing around 500 million worldwide every year in training and continuing education of our employees. We train electricians, for example. Yes, why not? A round of applause. We train electricians, for example, in the field of robotics, service technicians in digital analysis of operating data. Production specialists learn how to understand digital twins. In short, lifetime learning is reality at Siemens, and this will become more and more important in the future. Well, skills are one thing, but those who really want to set out on new paths in innovation must also create the right environment and the right culture in a company, so that people feel well and can be creative. On a smaller scale, we're doing this with our innovation fund that we've set up for employees in close cooperation with the employee representatives. Frau Steinbahn is nodding. And we're promoting creative ideas of our employees, and we're supporting that with up to 100 million in the coming years, and on a larger scale, too. And as one of the first large companies at all, we're moving in a new direction with innovation management, with Next47. At the annual shareholders meeting last year, I spoke of our plans to found an innovation AG. In October 2016, the moment finally arrived. Our innovation AG is called Next47. Well, finding names is often a difficult thing, but this time I think we found a really good name, Next47. It stands, well, Next stands for the next steps we want to take, and the 47, you will have guessed, stands for the year of our company was founded in 1847. We don't need a garage in Silicon Valley. When there was a backyard in Berlin, these garages didn't even exist. And the founding spirit in Germany needs to be reactivated, and that's what Next 47 stands for at Siemens. Our managing board member responsible for research, Siggy Rusbaum, played a major role in setting up Next 47. Thanks, Siggy. Thanks. And all the very best wishes for your own personal Next 47. With Next 47, we're promoting a startup culture at Siemens, and we are opening up new paths and business models. This is how we'll bring new ideas and new impulses into a robust innovation culture within the company. Ladies and gentlemen, as part of our strategic realignment, as part of Vision 2020, we have aligned our company's strategy to the overall system, EAD, that is electrification, automation, and digitization. And this was the right move. In the fields of electrification and automation, Siemens has traditionally had a strong base. We're number one worldwide in automation, whether it be in rail systems, in energy grids, in medical engineering, or in factories throughout the world. Just think of our trains. Turbines, circuit breakers, medical equipment, industry controllers and computers, and of course the building systems. A strong basis in electrification and automation is a huge advantage we have, a huge advantage that many envy us for, including our colleagues from the new world, because we know what our customers need. We know their markets and we also know their processes in manufacture and development. And on that sound basis, in the past few years, we have carried out our digital and industrial business, the D, and we have continuously expanded it. In many of our company's businesses, we are already doing what many others are just talking about and touting. We've developed a unique software portfolio for various industries, for example, for optimizing power generation and power grids, and for ensuring efficient traffic and building management. We are the leaders in the fourth industrial revolution, or as we call it here in Germany, Industry 4.0, when it comes to shaping the production systems of the future. Today, we're already able to simulate products and factory systems well before they're even built. This way, we provide customer benefits, such as lower development cost, faster market maturity, optimized and resource-friendly production, and, ladies and gentlemen, highest quality. Along with our software business, we're also continually expanding our business with digital services. Digital services. Today already, there are some 800,000 Siemens systems connected with our diagnostics and remote maintenance platforms. We monitor and optimize the operation of turbines for our customers. We centrally control the operation of wind farms throughout the world. We ensure highest quality in the operation of computed tomography systems, rail systems, and 10,000 of buildings. That's a major added value for our customers, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a good business for us. Our businesses with software and digital services generated around 4.3 billion in fiscal 2016. That's 12% more than in the previous year. With Mentor Graphics in our portfolio, we will clearly exceed the 5 billion mark. We're in fact developing substantially faster than the market. And we expect that our digital businesses will also be the driver of our growth in the coming years. One of the major contributors here will be MindSphere. Now, what exactly is MindSphere? I assume many of you have a smartphone. Typically using an operating system such as iOS or Android. Ladies and gentlemen, MindSphere is the operating system for Industry 4.0 from Siemens. For those of you who are interested to find out more, this is the address on the internet. If you want to obtain more information, you go to that page. Ladies and gentlemen, Siemens masters the overall system, EAD, like no other company of the world. And it is also the key to a resource-efficient economy. We also have the technologies needed for such an economy. We're using them for our customers, and we're opening up new horizons for our own company. As I already reported to you last year, Siemens is the first major industrial company worldwide to aim at being climate neutral by 2030. And we're well underway here. We're making faster progress than originally planned. In the period from 2014 to 2016, we were already able to reduce our CO2 emissions by 20%. Ladies and gentlemen, we will consistently proceed down that path because this also is what I call serving society. And society sees this and honors our efforts. We are, for example, ranked as the most sustainable company in the world in the prestigious Global 100 listing. Our biggest competitor also made it into the top 100 and ranks 99th. We're also driving our contributions to climate protection economically with good business. Ecology done economically. That's always been our goal, and that's sustainable and future oriented. With the planned merger of our wind business with Spain's Gamesa, we're creating the world's leading supplier of renewable energies. Siemens is the leader in offshore wind, while Gamesa is strong in the onshore sector. So we complement one another perfectly, technologically and also in our regional footprint. And that is why two businesses that are already good will become an outstanding company in the wind industry. This will enable us to serve our customers even better through innovation and cost reductions. Siemens is also strong in the field of medical engineering. Very strong. Not always been like that, but today this is truly the case. The new management has done an excellent job developing this business. The Healthineers have a fantastic portfolio that we will further expand, turning a great business into a fascinating Siemens business. To achieve this, a larger entrepreneurial framework and greater flexibility are necessary, and that is why we are planning the public listing of Siemens Healthineers. With this move, we'll also be doing here what we previously announced in our strategy concept Vision 2020. As you can see, we are rigorously and sustainably implementing our strategy, but also prudently, as I think. We intend to follow this course in fiscal 2017, the first quarter of the new fiscal year marked a really strong start already. And as you see, we aren't the only ones who are pleased with the figures. The figures that have already been presented to the public last night. You know, Siemens always is that petrol color, and that's above the DAX. Ladies and gentlemen, we're making solid progress, and we have achieved a lot. We are already further along in implementing Vision 2020 strategic program than we originally planned, but there is still much to do. There is still much to do. What we can accomplish on our own doesn't daunt us in the least, because we're a good team and we have invested heavily in innovation and productivity. And also because we have outstanding employees everywhere in the world, and we have a very good setup. But the world in which we operate has become more complicated, and things are not improving everywhere. And I see five factors in particular that will affect the world, the economy, and our company. First, the rapid increase in populism that is fostering stronger nationalism and protectionism. This hinders free trade, and it hinders international cooperation. And international cooperation and integration are just what we must have to master the major challenges that lie ahead of us. Second, global migration. For a long time, it was thought that globalization was a one-way street, a one-way street in which Germany as an export nation was always in the passing lane. In the meantime, however, we know that this street can actually be traveled in both directions, and there's also heavy traffic on it. Today, more than 60 million people are refugees worldwide, more than ever before. Many countries, societies, not even Germany, and not Germany alone, are not yet prepared to cope with this enormous task. Third, climate change, as I've already mentioned. The effects are dramatic. If we want to give future generations a viable basis of life, and that's our responsibility, then we have to decarbonize the global economy. This conversion will shape the 21st century. We can learn a lot from the energy change in Germany, where an excellent intention was implemented. Fourth, and that's something that really bothers me, because it actually doesn't really go with Siemens, the increasing short-term thinking and opportunism in the financial markets, and not only there, also in society. Sure, it's the financial markets, but not only there, where too many are selling our future for instant profits. We need more courage again to counter this trend. We need a more sustainable approach in the management of companies as well as national economies. Fifth, the fourth industrial revolution, or Industry 4.0. With that, we are experiencing the full impact of the advent of digitization in the industrial world. It's changing everything, all areas of life, all industries, our society, and also the way we work. Much will be improved, opening up great opportunities for mankind. But there are also questions. We still don't exactly know how these five factors will affect our business environment. One thing is certain, though. Change will be the only constant. The speed of change will increase. And the force of its impact will grow. We must prepare ourselves for these changes as a society and also as a company. And, ladies and gentlemen, it won't be the biggest companies that survive or the fastest. The successful companies will be those that can best adapt their culture and values to these changes. And this, precisely this, is what we want to achieve with our ownership culture. This is what we want to achieve. Always act as if it were your own company. That's our motto. All employees, I emphasize, all have the right and the obligation to move Siemens forward as a whole. This is what I understand as participation, both co-determination as well as self-determination, and above all, co-responsibility. That is Siemens, and it's already widespread at Siemens. More and more employees are participating. Now around 165,000 employees in over 60 countries own Siemens shares. That's 12,000 more than last year. Almost every second employee is thus a shareholder in our company. Ladies and gentlemen, it's also about participation and sharing values in our society. Social market economy lives from just this, from sharing and the involvement of all social partners. Great personalities like Ludwig Erhard helped shape this very sense of social togetherness and solidarity within society. But also the necessary performance culture we need. The task now is to further develop social market economy and reinterpret it for the digital age, the new age. Ladies and gentlemen, 2016 was a good year for Siemens. Many even say a very good year. We want to do even better in 2017. Our 170th company anniversary has also earned record profitability. As in the past, we will continue to work hard and unassumingly serve our customers, our company, and society. But we will also stand up for the weaker ones around us, for respecting race, gender, and religion. Always and everywhere, and also in the United States. Not we, but our customers, you as our shareholders, and society in general, ultimately determine in which league we will play. Every day, every week, and every year. We, the managing board, and our more than 350,000 colleagues will work hard and do our very best and always keep our eye on long-term success. But we will also do what has to be done. And here, individual interests are subordinate to the overall interest of the company. That applies also to individual regional interests, because Siemens is committed to the future as it was in the past and especially as it is today. Thank you.
Dankeschön.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Käse. Before we start the general discussion, I would like to make a few housekeeping announcements. The agenda and the draft resolutions from management have been available since the invitation to the shareholders meeting was sent out. These are available on the website, and they were also sent to you with the invitation to the shareholders meeting, and are also available at the information booths. We also have an updated proposal for appropriation of net income from the Managing Board and the Supervisory Board, because in the meantime, there have been changes in the number of Treasury shares. Information on the agenda and all of the necessary information on the course of the shareholders' meeting, proxies, etc., and taking the floor and the vote can all be found in the information brochure, which is available at the information booths. In the entrance area, there are shareholders' counters where you can swap your admission tickets for the voting cards. If you have additional admission tickets, please swap them for the voting cards, because only in this way can the registered shares be considered present, and then we'll be able to participate in the vote. If there is a label with a barcode on one of your voting cards, then please also go to one of the shareholders' counters in the entrance area. We are now going to conclude the public transmission of the annual shareholders' meeting. From now on, it's only shareholders who have registered with the shareholders' number and their access data. Only they will be able to follow the shareholders' meeting on the internet.